It's noon here in Ventnor City, New Jersey, and our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., and this is news that you can use from Car Edge for Wednesday, March 13th, with your host, me, Ray, and, well, the handsome dude that just got a haircut, Zach. Looks good, young man.
All right, Pops, let's jump straight into it. Today's show brought to you by us, damn it. I'm feeling more and more comfortable every day, reminding everyone that you and I started Car Edge 4 years ago. And if you want to support us and learn more about our business, go check it out, caredge.com. The thing that we are going to jump into today, Dad, Edmunds released their 2023 Q4 used vehicle market report. And I don't know, man, I don't think this is going to be picked up by, you know, the mainstream media or anything like that, but there are some bombshell developments in this report. The most important one being, Dad, that yes. Red line on this chart, negative equity versus average age of trade-in with negative equity. We have the highest level of negative equity recorded in Edmunds history on trade-ins right now, over $6,000 in negative equity on the average trade-in in today's market. Used car prices have started to fall, which is a good thing, but yes, the negative equity situation, especially on newer used cars, Dad, Edmunds just blew the top off, man. Like, this data is insane as we dig into it.
Well, it's insane, but what's really insane to me is we've been talking about it for two damn years, because we saw it coming. We knew it was going to happen. We knew when people were paying market adjustments 2.5 years ago, 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, that those people were going to be negatively impacted by paying those market adjustments.
It is, Dad, I hate to this headline in the report: newer used vehicles experience considerable price drops. Like, no duh.
Well, you know, and the amazing thing is they probably spent a lot of money to come up with this, to do the research.
We appreciate it. We appreciate it. Like, yes. I don't want this to be misconstrued as us not appreciating it. We really appreciate the fact that Edmunds, Cox, all the big players put out this data. But yeah, what did their research find, Dad? Their research found that one-year-old used cars have lost 15% of their value year over year for the quarter. Like, okay, as compared to, I don't know, a six-year-old car has only lost 10% of its value. Like, newer used cars are actually depreciating faster than older used cars. And again, you know, negative equity then skyrockets.
They always have. I mean, you know, for years, dealers would tell you, you know, the moment you drive off the lot, your car goes down in value 20%. Well, you think we didn't mean it? You know, that's what happens. And if you paid, I don't know, an extra $2,500, $5,000 in a market adjustment for the dealer, well, your loss is even greater than 20%. That extra $2,500 or $5,000, that was just air. You were paying for air. You got... The only thing you got out of that was the ability to have it sooner rather than later. And to spend that kind of extra money, shame on you. You should have waited. You know, and why did we start 2 years ago? The domain name stopbuyingcars.com, because we said 2 years ago, stop buying cars, because if you stop buying cars, they're going to have to lower the prices. But people couldn't wait. They just, I have to pay too much.
Can I show you the scariest thing in this whole entire report? And just Google search it, guys. Just Google search Edmunds, Q4 used car report, and it'll pop right up. That the scariest thing in this entire report is not the fact that the average amount of negative equity is up to $6,064 in Q4 of 2023, as compared to $5,347 in Q4 of 2022 and $4,143 in Q4 of 2021. That's not the scariest thing. The scariest thing in this data, Dad,
yes,
is that the actual percentage of used cars that get traded in that are underwater, that have negative equity, is up sharply to 20% from where it was during the pandemic when it was down all the way closer to 15%. The scariest thing in this entire report is the fact that normal pre-pandemic trade-ins with negative equity are 30 to 40% of vehicles being traded in. We have a long way to go still of negative equity increasing in terms of the absolute value, the number of people who experience negative equity. And when they do go to trade that vehicle in, they are going to be upside down more than ever before. So like this blue line on this chart is the scariest thing in here because it shows you what's going to happen. We're going to go back to pre-pandemic times. We're going to go back to 30 to 40% of vehicles that are traded in having negative equity. And when they do, they're going to be more than $6,000 upside down.
I think I said to you in response to the article when you sent it to me, I can't wait to see the numbers for quarter one because it's going to be worse, okay? And it's going to continue to be worse. We know that used car values are depreciating. They're not depreciating as rapidly as they had been through the last quarter of last year. But there's still depreciation going on. We know, because I sent you another article, we know dealer profits are going down and that many dealers, depending on region, are forced to lower selling prices and make less per car in many cases back to pre-pandemic levels of losing money on new cars to get rid of them. That negatively impacts the trade-in value of a vehicle. And when you factor in all those people that pay $2,500, $5,000, $7,500, $10,000 for additional dealer markup because they were in a frenzy to buy something when there was a shortage, $6,000 in negative equity would look minimal compared to what these people are about to see. Because some of these people are going to see negative equity situations that are $15,000, $18,000, $20,000, $25,000 in negative equity. We did that thing on the Lightning yesterday that if you could buy it for $90,000 and you ran it through our sell widget, and the highest bid we got for that vehicle, cash bid with 500 miles on it, was $39,200, a $50,000 loss overnight. Overnight. And that is what a lot of people are going to be realizing when they grow tired of the vehicles that they bought 3 years ago. And I know people say, well, when you buy a vehicle, you need to keep it 10 years. Well, if that was the case, car dealers would have gone out of business a long time ago. I can tell you from experience that even though people should keep their cars till they're paid off, they don't. Americans grow, a vast majority of Americans grow weary of what it is that they're driving 2.5, 3, 3.5 years into their ownership experience. And they want to get the latest and the greatest, the newest with all the toys. Well, if you financed it for 6 years or 7 years, you've hardly paid down any of the balance. You are going to be so significantly upside down that they're going to have to pull out paddles and shock you back to life after they tell you your trade allowance. It's, you know, I'm sorry that I get dramatic about this, but people have no idea, absolutely no idea what they did to themselves. And if I may, what the dealers foisted on them, okay? It is, you know, a dealer's only gonna sell things for what people will pay for. And if people were stupid enough to pay that, what they paid 2 years ago, 2.5, 3 years ago, it's A, shame on the customer because they're the one that said yes. B, shame on the dealer because the dealer now realize they've lost that customer for life, okay? Instead of creating a customer for life, they've lost that customer for life because that customer is going to wake up when they go to trade it and go, holy mackerel, what the hell did they do to me? And the reality is they didn't do it to you. They allowed you to do it to yourself. They encouraged you to do it to yourself. And so between greedy dealers and ill-informed consumers, the industry's in for a wake-up call when all those people come back in trying to get rid of their cars.
Now, I want to show you some of the specific language Edmunds, not Car Edge, not Ray and Zach, Edmunds is using to describe what's going on in the market right now. So I'm just going to read this. Looking ahead, used values normalize, fallout ensues. The used market will always be tied to the new vehicle market, but the correlation between the two isn't always perfectly linear and immediate. As new car incentives become more prevalent, used values will take a hit, and shoppers buying nearly new vehicles, which are cross-shopped the most against new vehicles, will be most affected. Another issue that had been sidelined for years because of high resale values has returned. Consumer trade-ins with negative equity. Two more factors will exacerbate the negative equity issue. Consumers who paid near or over MSRP during 2021 and 2022 have vehicle loans further from break-even point at trade-in. And even more recently, high interest rates on car loans increase the time before consumers pay more towards the principal and fight depreciation. As the used market begins to more readily resemble its old self, casualties are beginning to mount. And one more quote from all this, notable and quotable, because again, it's not us with the hyperbole today. Quote, a storm is brewing in the used market as incentives and inventory continue to trickle back into the new vehicle market, said Ivan Drury, Edmunds Director of Insights. Quote, with demand for near new vehicles on the decline, used car values are depreciating similarly to the way they did before the pandemic, and negative equity is rearing its ugly head. Vamp on this for another minute, Dad, because I'm going to pull up some stats about pricing.
And there was something in that article a little further down that was staggering to me. But may I say, when they're talking of casualties, they're talking about the customer. You know, that's the casualty. So, you know, when that customer comes back in and the dealer looks at him and goes, you know, most of our customers today have some negative equity. How are you planning on handling your negative equity? And the customer says, well, how much negative equity could I possibly have? And so, well, the salesperson goes, my used car manager looked at your trade based on what your payoff is. You're only $18,000 flipped. Okay. So were you planning on giving us that or more? At that point, literally at that point, that customer is going to hit the floor. Okay, have padding around those desks, pad those floors, because those customers are going down. Down goes Frasia. They are going down, okay, because they are not prepared to hear the size of the number. And that number will be staggering. Okay, and you know, God bless Edmunds, God bless Cox. Jeez Louise, Stevie Wonder could have seen this coming, okay? Anybody could have seen this coming. When dealers were asking what they were asking, and when people were paying what the dealers were asking, anybody with common sense said, they're shooting their customers and they're shooting themselves in the foot. What are they going to do when those customers want to get out of their cars?
I found the data I was looking for. Question for you and question for everyone that's with us, Dad. What percentage in February of 2022, what percentage of new cars were sold above manufacturer's suggested retail price? February of 2022, what percentage of new cars were being sold above the manufacturer's suggested retail price? What do you think, Dad?
I'm going to guess it was 28%.
28%. You think it's 28%? Let's get some guesses in the chat here. My dad thinks in February of 2022, which we're having a whole conversation about negative equity, we've got 38% here from Larry, 60% from Lumber Jeff, 40% from Phil G. Igor says 20 to 22%, 72%. You ready for this, Dad?
Yeah.
Get your padding out.
Jesus. I'm not
supposed to. For those of you that listen to the podcast, it took me a second because I had to Google it, but sticker shock. 80% of car buyers now paying above suggested retail price. This was posted in CNN. Whoops, we can get rid of that advertisement. Give me one second here.
No, I like that advertisement. CNN. You just hit that damn X. There you go.
February 19th, 2022. Let's look at some of the data, Dad. I think this came from J.D. Power. Oh, no, this came from Edmunds.
Okay. Same people we're talking about this morning. Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. The same company that's putting out, which again, thank you, Edmunds. We really, really, really appreciate the data that you share with the industry and with our community. 80% of car buyers in February of 2022 were paying above MSRP. And now the quote's not from us.
Yes.
Well, I'll add some dressing to it. It's a slaughtering. Like, people are screwed. Negative yes. equity has never been on a per unit basis higher than it is right now. Period.
And it's and I'm telling you, it's higher than that $6,000 number. Moving forward, that $6,000 number is growing exponentially on a daily basis. When these people come, I'm telling you, Zach, I've seen it for years. When these people come, they are going to be absolutely shocked. As they're just not going to. And then here's what's going to happen. They're going to say, well, they tried to screw me on my trade. Okay. I mean, I owed $50,000 and they only offered me $30,000. Okay. Well, what you owe on it and what it's worth have nothing in common. Okay. Just if you owed $10,000, wouldn't it still be worth the $30,000? It doesn't matter what you owe. It has a value. That value is X. Okay. And if you still owe $50,000, it's not the dealer screwing you. At least not right now. They screwed you 2.5, 3 years ago. And you screwed yourself when you agreed to it.
And the banks. I mean, the banks are complicit in this as well, because we saw loan-to-value ratios go crazy to make the cycle work, to facilitate the transactions.
Yes.
And again, you know, the new report, this is the Q4 2023. So all these reports are, you know, unfortunately, you know, you live in my world, Dad, with me. I'm always trying to move faster, faster, faster. These reports are always 90 days in the rearview mirror. Or 180 days.
It's from October through December. But go back to the article. Okay,
which one?
Pull that up again. The one that you quoted Ivan Drury in.
Oh, yep. Give me one second. Okay. Here, Pops.
Because I want you to scroll down on that article, because the thing that I found most disturbing, scroll down, keep scrolling. Okay, here you go. Stop. Okay, scroll up a little bit so I can read it. Although the downturn in used vehicles is negatively affecting growing share of new car owners, Edmunds analysts note that there's a bright spot for car shoppers with bigger budgets. In an analysis of the average transaction prices of 0 to 3 year old vehicles compared to the average transaction prices for new vehicles, Edmunds data reveal that large luxury cars offered an average discount of $48,111, the greatest dollar savings across all vehicle segments. With new vehicles going for $118,309 compared to, well, just the $70,198 for them as used cars. Here's the question. How many people can afford to spend $70,000 on the used car and think that they got themselves a bargain? I mean, if average transaction prices for new cars are like $45,000, $46,000, and that is beyond the reach of 83% of the public out there in America today, who the hell's buying a $70,000 used car and thinking, well, I did good? I mean, that's the bright spot. The bright spot.
You're turning red, Dad. You're becoming the bright spot.
Well, it's just, you look at these things and they, you know, they try and paint it in a good light. It is not a bright spot. It is a scary spot. It is a world where very few people can afford to buy a vehicle. That's not a bright spot. That's a warning signal. Okay, the automobile industry will shrink if that's your bright spot.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'll be good.
It's wild, man. I was, again, very appreciative when I saw that Edmunds, they put these out quarterly, but, and Dan sees, right, Edmunds is owned by CarMax, so just understand kind of the connections there, but I think they're independently run. I don't think there's a huge connection.
Owned by CarMax?
Yeah, CarMax bought them out 2 years ago, maybe. It was like a $350 million deal. Big deal, big deal, but yeah, so anyway, know that they have CarMax owns it, but I think it's good data.
Yes.
From Dorman.
Yes.
German, thank you. I'm trying to wait for a Mach-E GT. The dealer is selling me one for $37,000. I'm waiting till May, to late May, like y'all suggested. I mean, they're not selling.
Yeah. and the likelihood of them selling between now and late May, well, based on data that we've seen, it's not very likely.
Not very likely. All right, let's go to our other lead story for today, Pops, which is...
Yes.
Cox Automotive did a dealer sentiment index, their dealer sentiment survey. The headline in Automotive News just 27 minutes ago, dealers feel falling profits amid inventory growth weaker market. Give us a rundown, Dad, of what this survey is, and then I'll share the chart on the screen that is really, really
scary. They survey, I don't know, was it 500 some dealers, that whatever it is, to get a sense of where they feel they are and where they feel the market's going and how they feel about things. And, you know, if 56% of the dealers think things are moving in the right direction, they think that's a huge positive. It indicates to me that 44% of the dealer body is, well, not so sure. So, you know, I don't think in a lot of cases the numbers really indicate great strength for the market and a great belief in the dealer body that the market's going to be that strong, because the number of dealers who feel strongly about it are in the low to mid 50s.
Here's the chart. Here's the chart. This is the chart. This is a on the blue line, it's inventory, new vehicle inventory.
Yes.
On the green line is profits. And again, these are not like absolute numbers. Like this is not a chart showing you how much new inventory there is or how much dealer profit there is. It's sentiment around inventory and profit. Dealers have more inventory and less profit. That's what this chart is showing you. Dealers are feeling worse about profits and better about inventory, which is exactly the type of environment I would call a buyer's market. There's more inventory and less profit per vehicle sold.
Yes. You know, and compare that to like, 2021, where the profit was way up there and the number of vehicles was way down when everybody felt compelled, who bought cars felt compelled to pay too much for the privilege. And those are the people that we were just talking about a few minutes ago, as to the proud owners of record negative equity.
So what happens that if this chart, you play it out for, I don't know, another dozen quarters, if it looks like the inverse of what it looked like back during the pandemic? What I mean by that is dealer sentiment about profits are up in the 80s and 90s, and dealer sentiment about inventory was down in the teens. You know, like what if it flips to being dealers feel great about their inventory because they have too many cars on their lot, but profits are down. Like,
They. If you scroll down on that article, you'll see a quote there from an unidentified Chevy dealer about how literally they are back to losing money when they sell. Here it is. Large dealers are panicking with increased inventory and are selling new cars at pre-pandemic losses to support their business models. You know, you've heard me say, and for those of you who are new to this broadcast, prior to the pandemic, an average new car front-end gross profit, what I mean by front-end gross profit is what the dealer had invested in the car to what they sold it for, that front-end gross profit in most cases fell somewhere between $200 and $300 per new cars sold. Then we had a shortage of inventory not a shortage of buyers. And that number ballooned to, I don't know, $2,000 to $3,000 profit per car. In many, many cases prior to the pandemic, new car departments at franchise dealers did not make money. They were not the profit center for the dealership. Okay, parts and service, F&I, those were things that carried a dealership, used cars, but not the new car department. So we are seeing dealers in some areas, not everywhere, and I can assure you that people who are watching are going to tell me it ain't happening where I live, but we are seeing dealers taking deals at the same type of profit structure that they took pre-pandemic when new car inventories ran somewhere between 3 and 4 million vehicles a month.
The domestic brands especially, but I'm even thinking, Dad, back at CarEdge.com, there are 4 Mazda 3s with one of our dealer partners that they are 4% below invoice on a Mazda. For those of you that don't know Mazdas, you can still make money selling the car at invoice. You absolutely can. Hold back and advertising monies and floor plan assistance. But these 4, Dad, that our dealer partner, again, they're Mazda 3s. If anyone's interested in a Mazda 3, you can get a real good deal on one back at CarEdge.com. These 4, Dad, that they're trying to sell are their aged units. So they ran out of the floor plan money. And they're going to either put them into service loan or fleet at the end of this month, or they're going to sell them. 4% below invoice on a Mazda is a loser. Yes. You don't make money. But you don't also have to like put it in service loaner fleet and have it sit there in service loaner fleet. At least you finally sold it and you can get allocation. You can get the next vehicle.
Yes, you can earn more cars.
We're seeing this not only with the domestics, Chevy, for example. We know it's going on at Chevy. We know it's going on at Ford. We know it's going on at Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram. It's even starting to impact some of the import brands as well, which have had fewer vehicles on the lot. But they're even starting to... We saw this with our Toyota dealer partner. They had their biggest allocation in 2 years this month. So it is happening. It's happening across the board.
And it will continue to happen. And there's the reasons for it is the inventory levels are growing.
Yep.
High interest rates are constraining the public from being able to afford the payment it takes to buy the overpriced new cars that most of these manufacturers have produced. You know, we've talked about it ad nauseum. 4 years ago, 5 years ago, over 30% of all the new cars that were available for sale had a price point of $30,000 or less. That number dropped to 10%, okay? Because the manufacturers figured out they can sell fewer cars but make more money because the cars that they are wholesaling to their dealers have a higher profit margin for the manufacturer built into them. Well, now the public can't afford those cars. So because of interest rates and just average transaction prices. So we need to see lower priced vehicles making it back into the marketplace on the new car side. And until that happens, it's going to be a slog for these dealers, and they're going to have to continue to take shorter deals, losers in many cases. You were having a conversation with a big dealer in Florida who owns CDJR dealerships, and he's very content at this point to say, I'm going to have to lose money on every one of these to get rid of them. But that's the situation that I find myself in at the moment. Yep. And that's how dealers are beginning to react to this.
All the signs point to it, man. The Edmunds data, the Cox Automotive data. Let's come here, Dad, to Trippy Cam. Thanks for the contribution. How long should I expect to wait for a Prius Prime? I don't know. I don't know what the wait time is on those right now. I know we're at MSRP on them back through CarEdge.com. We have MSRP on Prius Prime. I don't know what the wait time is, Trippy. I'm hopeful someone in the chat can assist you better. I'm sorry, but thank you for sharing that with us. And Dad, I want to let everyone know we are hiring. Our company CarEdge is hiring. If you go to CarEdge.com and under About and then click on Careers, we are seeking out a few new people to join the team. So please, please go check that out. We're hiring for a head of marketing, which I think is ironic because we've built this all just me and my dad. So we need someone to help us out organizing things. And we also are hiring for a head of dealer relations, someone to start building out our dealer network with a bit more urgency, because there's lots of people that are finding value in what we're building, and we need some help. So please go check that out or refer us to a friend. We've got here Dan from Prospect NYC. Thank you. Thank you for what you do. Bought a Cadillac yesterday and got a great deal on it and on my trade-in. Could not have done it without you. That's got to make you feel good.
Yeah, no, that does make me feel good. I mean, you know, the whole concept behind this when we started was, as you like to say, information asymmetry. We're trying to level the playing field. We're trying to share the information that you as a customer need to be able to make sure when you're navigating your vehicle purchase that you're not going to end up being taken advantage of. And, you know, that was the whole basis for how and why this was born. And, you know, so yes, when you see notes like that, it means the world.
Yeah, really does. Really, really does. All right, folks, that's Wednesday for you. We'll be back tomorrow with more news that you can use from CarEdge. If you don't listen to the podcast, go check it out. We've done well over there. More and more people are tuning in on the podcast side of things. Just search Daily News You Can Use or Ray and Zach on your favorite podcast thingy, and we should pop up. Dad, I think we both look great today. I just want to comment on that.
Well, thank you. And, you know, once again, I woke up pain-free.
So, 1 second. I want to hear about the bed. I also want to help Brenda really quickly. She's saying, what is gap insurance? Brenda, I'm going to share my screen really quickly. Everyone out there, if you have car buying questions, go to your Google machine and type in, let me go to google.com. Bear with me. Go to google.com and type in, what is gap insurance? Space CarEdge.
Oh my God. And there's a guide?
Our search engine is not nearly as good as Google's, okay? But our content is damn good. So please, please, please come check it out. We have all sorts of information back on the website, and literally all the information is free. So Brenda, please go check that out. Your bed, Dad, bed update.
I'm telling you, 2 days in a row, woke up without back pain. I feel like I'm sleeping in a state of suspended animation. So 2 days in, I'm loving my purple Restore Cool Touch mattress.
All right, I got to make some phone calls to the purple folks and figure out somebody a way to get Bed Edge off the ground.
Yeah, Bed Edge.
Bed Edge.
Yeah, Bed Edge. Yeah, I like that. Bed Edge.
We'll work on it. Yeah. We'll see y'all back here tomorrow. Dad, I love you. Enjoy the afternoon. Beautiful weather. So hopefully you spend some time outside. That's my plan.
Love you as well. Have a great day. Your hair looks great. I wish I could do that with mine.